So Moshe Rabbeinu warns the people that they should stand down. This is not a good idea. And of course, as we all know, tragically, they did not listen. And so in chapter 16, from verse 31 onward, we hear, Vayihi kechaloisi ledaber eskol hadvarim ha'ila. As Moshe concludes, speaking all these words, Vatibako ha'adama asher tachteim, the earth beneath him, suddenly opened. We have an interesting dispute in the Gemara. What exactly happened here? If wherever one of them ran, the earth opened beneath them, or if the earth opened at one central occasion, but it turned kind of, everything was on an angle and everybody rolled down into that one spot. But at any rate, the earth opened up. And Vatiftach ha'aretz hespia. The Torah says the earth opened its mouth. Vativla isom. And it swallowed them, v'esbateihem, and their homes, v'eskol ha'odam asher l'kerech, all the people who had a connection to Kerech, v'eskol ha'rechush, and all of the residuals. So there's a lot of things that happened here. Number one, we say, the ground opened up, and it swallowed. Number two, what did it swallow? It swallowed homes, it swallowed people, and finally, it swallowed residuals. So the Ibn Ezra maintains the Bateim is a euphemism, because the truth is they didn't really have homes when they were in the Midbar. They had tents anyway. He said the euphemism is that this is a name for one's spouse and children. As we know, the idea of Beisei Zu Ishtei, house, can be a euphemism for one's wife. So Bateim means everything that belonged to them. Very, very sadly and tragically, all of the people who were connected to the individuals who led this rebellion, they too were swallowed up. Just like a woman marries a kohen, she becomes a kohen, or something like that. So too, by being associated with the people of Korach, invariably this caused terrible things to happen. Incidentally, there was one man named Oyim ben Pelas, and he was saved. By who?
His wife.
By his wife. By his wife. So I guess, you know, when you could make a difference and you don't, you have part of the responsibility. Ramban says that Bateihem refers to all kinds of people, including those who might have been indentured laborers. Everybody who was connected. Sfarno says anybody who was linked to this machlekes in any way, shape, or form necessarily swallowed up. All right, so now I know why the houses had to get swallowed. I understand why all the people got swallowed. Why is it called chush? What did the furniture do wrong? Why did they get swallowed? So the Sefarno says something very interesting. He says, we know there's a halacha that if a person loses a dollar and somebody else finds it, if the person who finds it was poor and needed that money to survive, then the person who lost the dollar, even though they never intended to give tzedakah, they lost it. Nonetheless, they have the mitzvah of tzedakah as if they would have given tzedakah. So it's kind of like the merit works automatically. And so the Sefarno says, if there would be possessions that were left behind, and then these possessions would be used by righteous people for righteous purposes, who would be elevated? The people who originally owned it would receive an elevation, and Hashem didn't want that. Because of their sin, they had lost everything, as we're going to find out soon, that we talk about the idea of vayevdu, they were lost. So they lost, this can also mean a portion in the world to come, an additional merits would have come their way. Otherwise, this too was lost from them. As the Torah continues to say, v'yerdu heim v'chol asher lahem, and so they went down, and everything that was to them went down chayim sha'ila, alive, into the abyss. And then once they all fell into this deep hole, v'tchas aleim ha'aretz, then the earth simply covered them over. V'yevdu mitecha kohol, they were lost from amongst the congregation, from amongst the people. So what does it mean when we say that v'yevdu mitecha kohol? Who got lost? Who got lost? What got lost? What do we refer to here specifically? Ramban says, it's like, here they are, here they aren't. The ground opened up, and then all of a sudden the ground closed, and everything was gone, as if they had never existed before. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, on page 109, records a dispute. This is the Gemara that speaks about the concept of Olam Haba, of the resurrection, and as well as eternity. So the Gemara over there has an opinion, brings two opinions. Rabbi Akiva says they also lost their portion in the world to come. So egregious, so heinous was their sin that they lost everything. They became lost materially, terrestrially, and even spiritually. And that's what the Torah means when it emphasizes v'yerduhem, that they went down as kol ha'shalahem chayim she'yelo, and it says that the earth covered over v'yevdu. V'yevdu mitecha kohol means that every single yid naturally has a piece of eternity. Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek le'ilam haba. Every single yid, by dint of the fact that he or she is born Jewish, necessarily will automatically have a portion of eternity, of ilam haba. And here, everything was lost. Everything was lost. Even that eternity. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder says, no, they became like a lost item. So what happens to a lost item? It can get found. And when you find a lost item, what's your mitzvah? You have to return it. So these neshamas became like lost items. In other words, they really were lost. However, in the end, they'll be retrieved. So the question is, how bad? Was it eternal? Was it something that it definitely harmed them on a spiritual level too? Going up against Moshe Rabbeinu and undermining the very core principles of Yiddishkeit itself, as we explained yesterday at length, is something that necessarily harmed these people in a horrendous way. The catastrophic consequences. The question is, would they ever be able to return? Rabbi Akiva says, gone. Finished. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder says, well, they will come. They'll be sought out. Somebody will find these neshamas eventually, and they'll be restored. The Panim Yafes says that a person who lives and dies wants one thing. You can't take the money with you. You can't take the real estate with you. You can't take residuals. What could you take? Well, it's really not what you take, it's what you leave. The person wants to leave a legacy. Every person, by his very nature, wants to be remembered, and people want to leave a legacy. So this is the notion of children, of course, leaving a legacy. And here it says that not only were they lost, their ideas and ideals were lost forever. This notion of being able to go up against Moshe, this notion of being able, they lived for something, they were ready to die for it. Well, they did die for it, and it was gone. There's a famous American school teacher during the revolutionary years, his name was Nathan Hale, and he was hung by the British. And he made a speech before he died, and a little speech that he made was something to the effect of that his ideals would live on, and that he died for a noble cause. And he had comfort, that comforted him in his last moments. So when a person leaves something behind, your ideas live on. Over here says the Panim Yafes, everything they brought up against Moshe Rabbeinu, everything was gone. It was gone. They left no legacy behind. However, they left their name. It's forgotten. Only these few people, all the people who went with them, nobody knows they ever existed. However, one thing did not get lost. They got lost. They were lost. However, Zugezunt, unfortunately, the negativity they engendered was not entirely lost. And where do we see that? We see that right after, as soon as they were swallowed, what did the people say? Atem hamitem es am Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron once again challenged. You are the one who caused the death of Hashem's people. So they were gone. But the negativity that they engendered, unfortunately, that was not gone. And even in the post-mortem of the swallowing, there were still issues, there were still challenges, there were still problems, because yes, they were lost, but their unfortunate negativity somehow lingered on. And so what's everybody's first reaction? The whole Yisrael Asher Sivusim, everybody there is totally freaked out. Everybody there is overwhelmed. Nasu l'koylam, they ran, they fled from before this voice. Ki amru, because they said, pen tivla einu haaretz. I guess they all knew they were a little guilty. They all knew that they had something to do with this, and that they had been favorably disposed towards the mutiny. And now they were afraid. And so they all ran. Rashi says, what does it mean, nasu l'koylam? Sounds literally they ran to their voices. So Rashi says the meaning of nasu likailam is that the lamed in the beginning does not mean as if to, but rather bishvil hakail, as a result of the voice of the sound. In other words, the ground opened up and there was a tremendous din, a tremendous sound as everybody was swallowed up. And that sound, the sight and the sounds, literally terrified everybody who was there, and they ran for their lives. Now it is telling and compelling that when we describe this idea, it doesn't say v'yevdu, and they were gone altogether, but it says v'yevdu mitoicha kohol. They were gone from amidst the people, which seems almost to indicate from amidst the people they were gone, but they weren't gone entirely, which is Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda's idea, by the way. He says, yeah, they weren't entirely gone. They're gone from amongst the people. They were no longer visible, but they would be found again. Rabbi Kiva says, no, they were lost. So we're going to set out here to try to better understand this idea of a yevdu mitecha kohol. They were lost from amongst the people, which we saw. There's a whole discussion what that means, mitecha kohol. Did they have eternity? Didn't they have eternity? Did their ideas live on? So here in the Biurim book, in page Reish Pe Aleph, Simen Yud Zayin, the Rebbe takes this terminology and shed some light. V'yevdu mitecha kohol. It doesn't say v'yevdu stam. It doesn't just say they were lost. It says, no, they were lost from amongst the congregation. It doesn't say v'yevdu min ha'aretz, which is actually the more typical expression. They were gone from the face of earth. It says they were gone from the congregation. They were gone from the people. They were no longer counted as a member of the people. They were no longer part of the demography. But doesn't say they were just gone. And the question is why. So the Rebbe here points out that later on the very Pasuk, but where this Pasuk shows up a second time in Parshas Pinchas, which is at the end of the journeys of the Jewish people, and we have a recapitulation of some of the things that happened in the beginning of their sojourns in the Sinai Desert. So over there, it says, Uvnei Kerach Lo Yimesu. It talks about this idea of everybody getting swallowed up, but in Parshas Pinchas it adds, the children of Kerach did not die.
So were they in holding?
Where were they? Pirush Rashi says, Hey, Mahayu Be'etza Tchila. They were the ones who came up with this bad idea. They were the ones who pushed their father and said, Hey, Dad, he's taking advantage of you. Look at you getting the short end of the deal always. I bet you Moses makes this up by himself. And maybe Korach in the beginning said, Well, you know, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. He spoke to Hashem. And they said, Don't be silly. Don't be silly, Dad. And they pushed him. And he was buoyed by his own children. But B'shasa Machlekes, at the time of the Machlekes, when they saw what they had started, all of a sudden they said, I don't know, but this is a good idea. Like sometimes you start something, and then it spins out of control, and like a fire that now was burning out of control, they felt guilty. They were not happy about this. They were no longer, when everybody was bit by the bug of mutiny and rebellion, and everybody then was yelling and screaming and get involved, and they all of a sudden were not so excited about this anymore. And they began to do tshuva. They began to sincerely regret what they did and to try to think of ways to undo the damage. And because that happened, because in their hearts they were returning to a path of righteousness, because they experienced sincere regret and probably even resolve, which is the meaning of tshuva, definition of tshuva. So lefikach nizbatzer lehem makam gavaya b'gehenim. Therefore, there was this platform established in Gehenim, in what we call hell, whatever that means. They were swallowed up in the ground, they went to hell, and there was this platform established, v'yashvusham, and they sat there. In other words, that is to say, b'nei kerach nivlu ba'adama, they were swallowed up in the ground. It doesn't say they weren't swallowed. It doesn't say a platform was established and they didn't fall through. You know, like shoots and ladders, everybody else fell and they stayed on top. It doesn't say that. It says that they were in Gehenim. They fell down. They went down. But then there was Makam Gavaya Nispatzer. Then there was this platform of sorts that suddenly formed. So in other words, B'nai Kerach were indeed swallowed up. Yachad im Sha'or Anshe Adas Kerach. Together with the rest of the Korach people, who were swallowed? Korach's children. Ach B'nigin Aleim, in sharp contrast to Korach and his people, Lo Meitu, they didn't die. Ella Nisharu B'chaim, they remained alive and well. B'makim shebo nivlu, in the place that everybody else was swallowed, ha-mechune kan, which is, like, it's not literal, we don't know what this means, but the euphemism is Gehenim, they went to hell. The ground opened up and they went to hell, which means a big core and fire in the core of the earth, and everybody who's bad goes to the core of the earth. We have no such source, we have no sources for that. We have no reason to say that. It's a spiritual concept, Gehenim. But here it's referred to euphemistically as Gehenim. So here's the question. If they did tshuva, so why did they have to go to hell, so to speak? Why did they have to go down into the ground? And then if they went down into the ground, everybody else was swallowed and died, they got to live there. Because there was this place that was established, a high place, and they were in the high place, they were in a safe place, and everybody else died, and they lived, as we're going to soon hear, for a long time, after emerging. So Asiba Lekach, the Rebbe says, the reason is very simple. Mishum Shebashas HaMachleikes, at the time of the dispute, at the time of the mutiny, Hirharu Tshuva Belibam. They felt a sense of tshuva. Where did they feel a sense of tshuva? In their hearts. In their hearts. There was a feeling in their hearts. It wasn't that they did tshuva. How do you do tshuva? Doing tshuva means to verbalize. The mitzvah of tshuva necessitates and requires the concept of vidui. And tshuva is ideally done in a public fashion so that other people can learn the lesson of the Baal tshuva and see that he or she has mended their ways, no longer behaves in the same way, fashion. And then it becomes an inspiration for others. So they did tshuva, but nobody knew about it. Why? Because it remained in the recesses of their hearts. Tshuva was beliba. Mechad gisa, on one hand, b'nei kerech hirharu b'tshuva. They did tshuva. They felt tshuva. V'lochein, therefore, lo higia lehem lehi onesh yachadim shara das kerech. Who gets punished? You get punished when you remain obstinately connected to whatever bad behavior, whatever bad direction you started out on. If you continue your rebellion, you're going to get punished. But here, how could they get punished? They no longer were full sinners. They regretted it in their hearts. Well, that's from one side, from one perspective. Aval me'idach gisa, conversely speaking, me'acher shehurharu hirhuri tshuva hayu belibam bilvad, because these feelings of tshuva were only in the heart, and klapechutz, on the exterior, what did everybody else see? They saw B'nai Kerach involved in the mutiny, just like everybody else. Nirahaya, it did appear, that they were continuing to prosecute this fight, this dispute. They didn't get up and say, hey, everybody like Kalev did, shut up, everybody quiet. We are B'nai Kerach. We started this whole thing. We regret it. It's a mistake. We should stop this now, ask Moshe Rabbeinu forgiveness, and we should go back to being good, righteous, obedient Jews. They didn't say that. They never said that. When everybody looked at B'nai Kerach, what did they see? The machloikas, the fire of the machloikas continued to spread, and it was a raging fire that everybody got swept up into. You know how it is sometimes. It's like a mob mentality. One person says another person. At a certain point, the mob takes over, and everybody gets swept into it. So when everybody got swept into it, what happened is the Pasuk emphasizes that they appear to be sinners just like everybody else. And if they're sinners just like everybody else, what comes their way? What has to happen to them? On the surface, they have to be punished just like everybody else. So they were. That's where the scripture emphasizes. They were lost where? From amongst the people. In other words, not they were lost, because the truth is they weren't entirely lost. Not everybody was lost. Some of them, namely his children, avdu, they were only mitoicha kahol. From insofar as everybody else was concerned, they were lost. But as far as the truth, objectively speaking, they weren't entirely lost. Lemaris eini hakol, from the perspective, from the view, the vision of the of everybody gathered around there, sharois and mishtatav and machlekas, the people who saw them engaged, involved, committed to this, prosecuting this argument, they saw that. Avul bepoil, but in the end, matter of fact, Nisharu b'chayim, they in fact did stay alive. And our sages tell us they remained there for almost 40 years. And only at the end, these blackened people suddenly emerged. And they emerged enriched with a number of prayers that they had composed literally in the throes of Gehenim. And those prayers are preserved for posterity in the book of Tehillim, that the Psalms that begin with the words, Livnei Kerach Mizmer, as the Medrash Tehillim says, this is the most profound expression of tshuva that they did alive in Gehenim, pouring forth in a profusion of prayer and spiritual devotion. And now you know the rest of the story. That's why it says, V'yevedu mitoicha kohol, but not entirely. And perhaps this teaches us a very important lesson. When you do good things, it shouldn't be kept in the recesses of the heart. Don't be afraid to trumpet it. Don't be afraid to publicize it. Because it's not only about you, but everybody else is watching.